Welcome to the AFP Report. This is your host, John Friend. Today is Friday, December 23rd, 2022. This is the 30th edition of the AFP Report, a podcast series where I will be interviewing reporters and contributors to American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, as well as other special guests. Please consider subscribing to American Free Press if you are not already. Subscription details can be found at AmericanFreePress.net. And today I am joined once again by Mark Anderson, a longtime reporter for the newspaper who also serves as our roving editor. All right, Mark Anderson, welcome back to the program, sir. How are you today?
Very well, thank you. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, I wanted to first off wish everybody a Merry Christmas. You and your family, all of our listeners and subscribers and supporters of American Free Press. This will likely be the final AFP report of the year, and I want to, of course, sincerely thank everyone who has supported AFP this year. If you're not subscribing, I highly recommend it. Our website is AmericanFreePress.net, and you can find subscription details there. It truly is America's last real newspaper, and it's still an amazing accomplishment to be publishing an alternative independent print newspaper in this day and age. So I would highly encourage everybody to support our efforts and to pick up a subscription if they do not have one already. And as you know, we just finalized issue 53 and 54, which actually turned out to be a bonus issue. This is going to be the final issue of the year. And a major topic we focused on was the crisis along the U.S.-Mexico border, a topic that you have covered extensively for AFP, both on the ground and from afar. It's a topic that we've prioritized at the newspaper, and it's something that I've also covered for the paper as well from various angles. And our front page story actually deals with the absolute implosion of the border and includes some photographs that Representative Tony Gonzalez of South Texas took at a detention facility, which is just absolutely overwhelmed. And this is something that's been going on for quite some time now, but it seems to have only worsened under President Biden. And part of that front page article called attention to that photo shoot that Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez took back in, I think it was 2018, when President Trump was still in office. Mm-hmm. And if you remember, there was that iconic photograph of her sort of like doubled over and like crying as she leaned against this chain link fence. And that situation has only spiraled out of control since then. And yet AOC and her Democratic colleagues insist there's no crisis at the border. Everything is under control. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas has been bold enough to say that the border is secure. If you can believe that, talk about gaslighting the American public. I mean, the situation is totally out of control. So to get started, Mark, what is your overall take on what's going on down there? And then we'll kind of jump into some of the articles that you wrote for this issue.
The overall take, the thing that really is important for people to understand is that there's a dynamic between the Democrats and Republicans, both of whom are covering up what's going on in their own sneaky ways. Now, the Democrats, of course, are more bold and straightforward about it. And I guess, ironically, they're almost to be more respected for it than the RINOs, Republicans in name only. Maybe you'd say border security in name only. But at any rate, the dynamic is such where, let's just say, for example, you take the Texas Tribune, John, and you read it, and it'll say, Greg Abbott's crackdown at the border is unfair. It's racial profiling. It's racist. It's all these bad things from a left-wing perspective. And they'll believe that that's true. But by using the word crackdown, they give Abbott more credit than he's due. Because the people I talk to are those largely, not completely, but largely those that are actually at the border. And I call them sometimes right when they're at the border, sometimes with their firearm handy, and they're actually watching the Rio Grande as I'm talking to them. You know, no individual can be everywhere. I've been down there too. I've been along the border from time to time, but it's a very trying thing to do. It's very onerous and time consuming. and you don't get a lot of dividends out of it. You don't see a lot unless you spend a lot of time there. It takes a lot of patience to be a border watcher and get data and get photos and get sightings that you can see and use. But anyway, what the people on the ground in the thicket of things are saying is that the Democrats, they tote the party line that largely, if not completely, we need to let them in. And, oh, they only want to be Americans. Let's honor their aspirations for asylum. They won't talk about asylum being something that requires a high bar of evidence, you know, something that's not easy to do. And they make it sound as if they would all qualify for asylum, which is absolutely false. But then the Republicans come along and say, you know, the Biden administration is, you know, to blame for this largely, Mayorkas. And of course, they are largely to blame for it. But the dirty little secret is the Republicans, including Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, and to some extent Ducey, the outgoing governor of Arizona, are either under the spell of some sort of cartel pressure, or there's some other way that they're being compromised, because the people in the thicket of things are telling me that what the governors are saying with their words are not at all matching their actions. And they are actually party to the trafficking, if only maybe due to lack of resources, maybe there's reasons for it. No one likes to use the word traitor or treason, those kind of words, too casually. But those words are being spoken at times by some of the ranchers that I've spoken to that go out as far as Kamado, Texas, Rio Bravo, Del Rio, Eagle Pass, you know, pretty remote areas. And it's about halfway between, say, Laredo and El Paso, way to the west, which is near the New Mexican border, New Mexico, that is. And so you've got a situation where neither party is doing what needs to be done. One, the Democrats are more overt about it. The other, the Republicans are more covert, more guarded in how they carry it out. But it seems that neither is serious about securing the border in the way that ranchers and residents in Texas understand it. When they hear the words secure the border, what they envision, John, especially since Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, declared recently an actual invasion, an official declaration of an invasion. And this was in one of my articles. An invasion needs to be treated for what it is. And so what the people are not seeing, and what they expect to see based on Abbott's tough talk and Ducey's almost tough talk, is actual repelling, where you line up the soldiers and you have loudspeakers and you say, you're not coming over the border. You're going to turn around and you're going to go back.
Right.
No matter who they are. And I know that the screams of inhumane treatment come from all places, the Catholic Church charities, Baptist charities, non-governmental organizations. But the real fact on the ground is, and this has been borne out, is that the most humane thing you can do for the women and children is to send them back home. Where there are real cases for asylum, that's fine. There's legal mechanisms for that. But it's a high bar, like I mentioned. The bottom line is these countries from which these people come are going to suffer potential losses of their most able-bodied labor pools and their most able-bodied people. I mean, it's going to come to the point where we're going to ask questions like, who's going to harvest the crops of Guatemala and Honduras and El Salvador if there's a constant flow of the most able-bodied men and women and children leaving those countries in droves? Not to mention why and how Mexico would even countenance or allow them all to cross Mexico to come to the U.S. to begin with. What's up with Mexico? See, so there's a lot of cogs in the wheel, but what it boils down to is that the situation is such now where if something very definitive isn't done, you could reach the point of no return. I mean, you can only have so much of a border crash before everything becomes pretty much irrevocable.
I think we've been there for a number of years now at this point. I mean, the border has been a mess for the past 5-6 years, or probably even longer than that. So I think we're already there, frankly. And, you know, both parties, particularly at the federal level, are totally complicit in this situation. This is an outright invasion of our country, a total exploitation of our asylum laws. And, you know, some of these claims that are being made are totally fraudulent. And these people are being allowed into the country and then flown in and resettled in the heartland. I mean, it's just out of control. And you've been reporting on this for a number of years. And as you mentioned, you've been talking to people on the ground. Can you talk about some of your sources on the ground and what exactly they're witnessing, what they're dealing with, and what they think needs to be done to actually solve this situation?
Yeah, I can't give names, but I can tell you what they're doing. Some of them are ranch hands that help private ranchers who own border area ranches. They help them minimize or prevent people from entering their ranch lands who are trespassers. And that, of course, is going to be mainly people crossing the Rio Grande River, leaving Mexico, entering the United States illegally. And then there are retired military people who either own ranches or are private scouts. There have been private border scout organizations for years. I rode with one back in 2008 or so in South Texas, and they showed me around for 3 or 4 hours, and they would simply recon their sightings of illegal entrants, illegal aliens, and they'd call the Border Patrol, and they would just act as kind of go-betweens. They were pretty much hands-off except for being another set of eyes for the Border Patrol, and at that time, the relationship of these Border Scout groups was good with the Border Patrol and other agencies. But now there's more of a divide, and the Border Scout organizations may still exist, but now you're seeing more people that are ranch owners themselves, like I say, or they get hired by ranch owners, and oftentimes they hire ex-military. And then you have some former military people in the Border Patrol, and they're seeing, for example, groups of, anywhere from 20 to a couple of hundred that will enter different properties, sometimes more than once a day. For example, there's a produce farm out in the Greater Eagle Pass area. I won't use the owner's name, but she has video footage of dozens upon dozens of people crossing her land where she grows melons and other fruits and produce. And the Border Patrol just brings the buses, those ubiquitous white and black buses, mainly white with very, very dark tinted windows. And they simply, they take their laces, they take their belts, they take other miscellaneous belongings, and each illegal alien gets a bag. And then those belongings go in a plastic bag. And then they're taken to Border Patrol and NGO facilities, fed, cleaned up a bit, processed, maybe given a little miscellaneous medical care, whatever the case might be. And typically, unless they're a known criminal with a criminal record who's deemed too dangerous to be here, and some of those are deported, to be sure, then typically they're taken into the U.S. Interior by bus and by plane. And for example, Greg Abbott will say, well, it's an invasion. I've sent the DPS state police to the border, and I'm beefing up the National Guard troops and to secure the border. But the people, another thing the people have witnessed, those I'm describing as people on the ground, is they'll watch from, say 50 yards, 100 yards, and they'll see the National Guard and DPS in airboats on the river helping the illegal aliens come ashore and lining them up, bagging their belongings like I described, calling in the transportation and taking them away from the border into the U.S. And they are not being held for any length of time that you would, expect to be a reasonable length of time. And they are summarily sent into the U.S. Pretty much on a constant flow. And there are there was another experience of one of my scouts where he saw a particular, I believe it was two men early in the day, coming into the United States illegally, and they weren't able to head them off at the pass. And later on, they spotted them at an NGO facility that they were monitoring from afar. And the two men were friendly to the a couple of guys that know me. And they showed those men Uber and plane tickets that were worth like $1,000 per person, paid for with tax dollars. And
what you're basically saying and describing is the federal government literally facilitating the invasion of our country.
Right. And the state governments talking tough, but doing the same thing.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, and also you mentioned all these NGOs, and this has been something that we've covered at AFP for a long time. You know, these like Catholic Charities, for example, there's a variety of organizations that are actually directly funded in many cases by the federal government. And they essentially also facilitate this invasion and provide logistics and housing and food and, you know, other basic necessities for these people crossing into our country illegally.
Right. I mean, one thing that could be done is they could, you know, meet some of the physical needs of these illegal entrants for a day or two, you know, clean them up a bit, give them some food. But then arrangements should be made to send them back home, not in the United States. See, you know, no one wants children or women to suffer, although the vast majority of the people spotted by the scouts I'm in contact with are men between the ages of approximately 18 and, say, 40, 45 at the oldest. But to the extent that there are men, along with these women and children, who, yes, are in vulnerable situations, you know, no one's saying that you can't care for them in some sporadic way or some punctuated way where you're dealing with the immediate needs. But it all should be based on the premise that they're not U.S. citizens and they're not legal residents. And unless they qualify specifically for asylum and meet that threshold, then they have to go back home.
Right. And that's not happening. And that hasn't happened in a systematic way for a long time now. So it's really just a totally outrageous, incredible situation that I don't know if the public is, you know, totally aware of exactly what's going on. I mean, you hear people like Tucker Carlson, for example, talk about the situation and explain it in these terms. But I still think there's a lot of people that don't quite understand the extent to which the U.S. federal government and organizations that are funded by the federal government are actually facilitating this invasion of our country and incentivizing it, which is, I mean, just totally outrageous. I wanted to also ask you, I know you recently spoke with Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who served as the sheriff of Maricopa County, Arizona, for over 20 years, if I'm not mistaken. Sheriff Arpaio is a major, well, he's been presented in the media dishonestly, I think, as like a racist and a, you know, immigration hawk. He's treated illegals unfairly and things like this, when in reality, he's just attempted to enforce the law, as far as I can tell. What were his thoughts on the current situation?
Well, he hearkened back to 1957, John, when he first got into law enforcement and drug enforcement, and he related how he would work in Europe, like in Turkey, for example. And not all of this could fit in my article that just came out in AFP, but what it boiled down to was you go to the source. One of the articles I just published in AFP is the first five words of the article are "stop it at the source," quote unquote, which comes from Joe Arpaio, a 24 years Maricopa County sheriff until about 2016, and then he was with a lot of federal agencies before that. So he knows this thing from multiple police and law enforcement levels. And he says to get the solution, first you go to the country through which these people are marching or taking bus rides or hopping trains, however it is they're doing this, and however it is they're crossing Mexico, you know, 1,500 plus miles. You know, one wonders just exactly how this happens if they're coming out of Central America all the way across vast Mexico and some unforbidding territory there, unforgiving territory. And he says, you stop it there. He worked with the Mexican government in the 1970s, he explained, partially during the Nixon years. And he got them to cooperate, working as a federal agent, in stopping the drug and human trafficking. And that way, they would never get here to breach and illegally enter our border. And he said that those that do make it over should be handled the way, largely the way he handled them when he was the Arizona sheriff. You set up these tent cities because it's very difficult and expensive to find brick and mortar structures that can hold a lot of people in, you know, in an ongoing way. So you set up these large, white, ubiquitous, you know, sturdy tents that we've seen. You know, the Border Patrol and in the border authorities use them now to a point for retaining some of the illegals that they bring in. So they have a lot of these tents already. But what Arpaio would do is he would you know, arrest them through various means. One of them was arresting them when they're illegally employed. And he would arrest both the illegal employee and the illegal employer. And that's in my article about Joe, too, in the recent AFP, the most recent AFP. He'd arrest the illegal employee and the illegal employer both. And there was drug busts. And so there would be a couple different ways, besides them simply being in the country illegally, that he would arrest these illegals. Whether it's drug smuggling, whether it's illegal employment, et cetera, and they'd be housed in these tents, and they'd be, if they had a court date, they would probably meet that court date, but oftentimes they'd be deported, depending on their background, but none of it was catching them and releasing them into the country. It was always to catch them, to either process them for asylum, or maybe they were wanted on a crime, or to send them back home. And
sounds pretty straightforward, pretty rational way to deal with this, to deal with the problem.
Right, but if you did what he suggested and nipped it in the bud in Mexico before they ever got here, then to the extent that you set up these tents and you house them and you process them, send them back home, et cetera, like I just described, that would be relatively few people, you see. And then you would have the whole process under control. And those that really want to get here would be admonished to take the citizenship pledge, you know, to actually go through the process of becoming legal residents and citizens. But I think there's a caveat here that's not in my article, just because it was beyond the scope of them. And I'll be very brief on this. There's an organization called Numbers USA, and they make a good point that sovereign countries also have a right to determine in a given period of time how many people enter their country legally to become Americans. Even legal immigration, if the numbers are too high, if the thresholds are too high, can bring with it some problems. I won't go into what those problems are, except to say that there might be a problem with certain high-tech jobs, like IT jobs, where too many people are let in and those jobs are taken from Americans in an unfair process and given to foreigners who work for much cheaper in many cases. That's something that's been an issue from time to time with legal immigration and so on. And Arpaio would also look for people, of course, like any sheriff would, at least I hope, that would overstay their visas. Not everybody who's here illegally is someone that crawled over the river. Sometimes they're overstaying their visas. And so it's an overall process, but what he described was a perfectly logical and common sense way to get it under control.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. And that's an approach that the federal government certainly is not taking. And this kind of gets into another topic that you've been covering for the past couple months now, and that is local and state officials along the border either hinting or actually taking some steps to police the border. You mentioned outgoing Arizona Governor Doug Ducey, for instance. He's been stacking these empty shipping containers along the border. And then, of course, Texas Governor Greg Abbott has declared an emergency. I think Arizona did as well. They, you know, declared it an outright invasion, and they were going to take measures at the state level to protect the border. I know in Texas, Governor Abbott has made a lot of noise about using the state police and the National Guard to police the border. Will local and state officials step up, you think, to actually enforce America's immigration laws, given the utter failure of the federal government?
Well, as I alluded to a few minutes ago, the answer from what I'm hearing from my best sources, and I'm in constant contact with him. I talked to another one just yesterday. He returned to the border from his home. And the answer generally is no, John. They call it Abbott's eye candy. There's lots of phrases for it. They don't believe and they don't have confidence at this time in these state officials, neither Ducey nor Abbott, who are two of the most affected states. Texas has some 1,200 out of the 19+ hundred miles of the U.S.-Mexico border. Basically, Texas is two-thirds of that border. So Texas and Arizona together, those two governors, is a large percentage of that border, probably 80%. And the people I'm talking to, there's another one, an ex-Marine in Arizona. They're not buying it. They don't have confidence in Ducey, just like the other ones don't have confidence in Abbott. They think they're compromised. They think it's a lot of political talking points and brownie points, but they're just not seeing a correlation between the tough talk and the tough action. And it's regrettable. It's disturbing and unsettling, but that's what I'm constantly hearing. And, it's a matter of what is bringing that about. There's been lots of accusations. I won't say they're correct. I won't say they're incorrect. Abbott's being called a globalist. He's being called as being under the control of the Bush clan, which does have still considerable influence in the state of Texas. Let's be sure about that. And other things. And one of the things that these sources of mine are pointing out, and this is shown on the page of my article about Arpaio in this most recent AFP edition, I managed to get a still frame photo out of a border recon video, and it shows that some of those who are spotted by hidden cameras that are some of my sources and their associates are putting in trees and different areas, hidden webcams and cameras. It shows that there are people coming over wearing military fatigues, carrying sidearms, bringing over night vision equipment, and they're not Mexican soldiers. They appear to be some sort of drug cartel assets. And so I think that you asked about, or you were alluding to, John, one of the things that you might not even hear from Tucker Carlson and Fox News, and what most Americans don't understand, among many things they don't understand about the border, and that is that they're generally shown women and children in dire need, and they're shown some men, groups of men, but they're not shown what look like almost paramilitary units that are coming over our border.
Right. And yeah.
This is another dimension to things that even Fox News and One America News are not generally, as far as I know, alluding to. And I don't spend all my time watching their newscasts. I don't claim to. But it's a rare thing for that to come out. And AFP is bringing it out in a brave way, I think, in this most recent edition, because we've got to see the whole picture here, that there's something going on here of a more sinister, dare I say, nature, certainly a more potentially threatening nature and dangerous nature, more violent nature. And it's a matter of getting down to what this is about. You know, for every illegal alien we see that's wearing a military-like, military fatigue, camo kind of attire, that kind of clothing, for every one or 10 or 12 we see, how many aren't we seeing? How many more are there really, right? There's the question.
Yeah.
Where are they going and what are they doing? And so this is something that Abbott, I will guarantee you, will not talk about. And so I know that a lot of National Guardsmen and DPS, Texas State Police, and Border Patrol people have told people that I know that they're not happy about this, that they don't feel they're doing enough, and their orders and their rules of engagement are way too strict. And so a lot of things that need to be done aren't being done, and this is even being admitted reportedly by the very people that should be enforcing this, the state police, the border patrol, et cetera. And they're very frustrated that they can't do more, but that the engagement rules are so strict.
Yeah, and that is extremely concerning to me, and I would imagine to most people listening, when you have people like this showing up along the border and either attempting to enter the country or outright entering the country or smuggling others. That seems to be a major part of this as well. These guys in the military fatigues, and some of them are armed, it appears. You know, who knows what these guys are up to? But at the end of the day, they should not be allowed to enter the country and to smuggle people and probably drugs and other illegal things into the country. It's just totally out of control, as I've mentioned. And then, you know, I have actually got one other aspect to this I wanted to bring up, and you've sort of alluded to it. But if you look at like reports, like, you know, there are reporters that'll go down there and actually interview some of these people that are lining up in, you know, an attempt to either enter the country or, illegally, or attempt to claim asylum. And, you know, a lot of these people are from Central and South America, Venezuela, for example, and they're claiming to, you know, be asylum seekers. But when they're interviewed, they're basically admitting that they're, you know, escaping poverty or unemployment or low wages. So, I mean, you got to ask, are these people that are attempting to enter the country genuine asylum seekers, or are they basically opportunistic economic migrants exploiting our quite generous asylum policies?
It's probably largely the latter, John. And a lot of people will accuse people that believe in strict border security like ourselves of being, you know, without compassion for these people. In fact, the exact opposite is true. I stress over and over again that the worst thing you can do is keep that border wide open, because that is the market for the fentanyl. That is the market for the cartel. That is the market for the human smuggling that brings in more money than the drugs sometimes. Without that open border, there's no market. And the exploitation, okay, let's say they leave Argentina, or not Argentina, but Venezuela. Well, some probably have come from as far away as Argentina. But let's say they leave, Panama or Argentina or Colombia or Peru or something, and they want to have a better life. Well, they're playing right into the hands of the traffickers as soon as they leave their country and embark on their journey. And, you know, it's a real big gambit. Sometimes they're going to have their wives or their sisters or their children taken from them to keep them in line. So they'll be a mule to help smuggle the drugs in. And if they don't do it, they'll never see their loved ones again. And as I mentioned in another one of my articles here, one of the two articles in the latest AFP, there are women, you know, who are tied to trees and gang raped by some of these traffickers and coyotes. And if they're not left for dead, typically they're not, they're sold into some kind of slavery. And so, okay, so you're leaving your country because you want to have a better life, but you're going to sell your family or risk selling your family into slavery and possibly death. And one of my most reliable sources has a video that I have in my possession of a child graveyard of toddlers and children and infants in Texas of those crossing the border. There's probably 20, 25 graves, just wooden crosses with stuck into the dirt with a little mound of dirt there. And so, you know,
this is just a tragedy. I mean, this is what results when you have open borders in an uncontrolled situation like this.
Well, right. And so if there really is bad conditions in those countries, well, we have a foreign service. We have diplomats. We have emissaries that can go and check it out, right? They can do fact checking. They can verify things. If there's something with that government that's really amiss, they can say, look, if you're getting any U.S. foreign aid, that aid stops today unless you straighten this out. And although our Pio probably didn't get into quite those dimensions of these things, I'm sure he'd agree with what I just said. A lot of effort needs to be spent in those Central American and South American countries to finding out why these people are leaving and putting an end to it largely. and clarifying what asylum actually means, and clarifying that we even have a quota or a limit on even people legally wanting to come here, let alone illegally. And so much can be done there before people even enter our border. And so Arpaio really, I think, opened our eyes in that sense to what really ought to be done. And yet I'm puzzled because I've been to Mexico a number of times, and I wonder how it is that if I try and go over that border the other direction and even entertain for a moment going across that river and trying to sneak into Mexico, I'd be arrested in a New York minute. And let me tell you,
you might be shot on sight, Mark.
Well, right. And yet all these people from all these countries are allowed by Mexico to just traipse across that country. I can't reconcile those two things.
Well, it's because we're allowing it. I mean, we need to step up and get this situation under control. There are very legitimate, straightforward, common sense ways to handle this, as, you know, Joe Arpaio explained to you. And yet it's just not being done. And I mean, it just shows you that the entire political establishment, both political parties, are totally complicit in this treason against the American people. And that is absolutely what it is.
Well, it is in effect, even if it's not their intent, you know, you can innocently kick a football. You didn't mean to break that window, but it still shattered the window, right? The end result is the same, and the window's just as broken. And, you know, how many times do you kick the football through somebody's windows before people decide it's not an accident? And so, you know, there's not a lot of excuses left. Some other little nitty-gritty details very briefly are like there's a whole industry that comes out of an open border, and it corrupts some of the sheriffs on our side. Because another thing, before I forget, another thing that Arpaio said is that a lot of the sheriffs, especially those who are in counties along the border, can deputize a number of their citizens, including the very people that are giving AFP information, and their ranchers and their ranch hands, and they could all be deputized by the sheriff by hundreds, if not by thousands, and be used to help patrol all these lands to get more eyes and ears out there. Some of them would be armed and trained in the use of armaments, and they would help the Border Patrol, and everything would go together with National Guard, Border Patrol, State Police, and people that are in sheriff's posse. And as I mentioned in the article about Arpaio, he had something like 2,000 or 3,000 in a sheriff's posse, and 500 of them were armed. See, so there's no real shortage of options when Greg Abbott gets on Tucker Carlson, as he did the other day, and I didn't see it. I heard it secondhand, and said he has a shortage. He doesn't have enough National Guardsmen to put at the border. Well, number one, you could probably call in regulars, in other words, federal troops out of Fort Sam Houston near San Antonio, who are not National Guardsmen but are Army regulars. And also, you could deputize the citizenry like Arpaio did and like many sheriffs could do. But like in different counties occasionally, like in Terrell County, T-E-R-R-E-L-L, the sheriff there reportedly got his office in a backhanded way that is unlawful, and is admonishing ranchers not to apprehend or repel the illegal aliens. And when one of the well-known ranchers in the area had a medical problem, and even the state police helped out and tried to call in the medic through the county system run by that compromised sheriff would not call a medevac helicopter or other assets to help this injured rancher. I believe he was having a health issue, maybe something to do with his heart. But it's all of this has a very corrupting influence where sheriffs, in some relatively rare occasions, but it does happen, some sheriffs are actually not helping their own people. But if an illegal alien is found injured, they'll immediately get the EMTs and the helicopters out there, the medical helicopters out to help the illegal aliens. But they almost let this rancher die.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty outrageous. But typical, as your reporting shows, And I think we're going to go ahead and wrap it up there, Mark. I want to thank you very much for joining me once again. Keep up the great reporting in the new year. And I want to wish once again everybody a Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you and your family, Mark, and to all our listeners and subscribers.
And a Happy New Year, since this is the last one of the year. We'll throw that in too.
Yes, sir.
I'd encourage everyone to get the latest AFP, that extra edition, the bonus edition you mentioned. And there'll be more. There was one article on the border that I did in the previous edition, just before this current one too. So there's three recent border articles by me, plus the current front page border article in this latest edition, which is in addition to the ones I wrote. So lots to read there. Get more subscribers out there. Current subscribers, renew the one that you have. And let's keep up the good fight.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, John.
Okay, take care.